In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you Overtime. Take it away, boys.
Well, week two in Minnesota.
The ball at their own
didn't go that well for the 49ers. Final minute coming off of the clock right now as the Minnesota Vikings recovered the onside kick. The final score will be Minnesota Vikings 23, San Francisco 49ers 17. The Niners fall to 1-1 in 2024. Sam Darnold, who was the Niners' backup a year ago, gets revenge, and he improves along with the Minnesota Vikings to 2-0. Welcome into overtime here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Grandy and Sterling Bennett with you. Kyle Madsen off this week. He'll be back next week for our week three edition of Overtime. But Sterling, first of all, happy Sunday. I hope you're doing well considering what this Niner game was, because they fall by six, 23-17. Sterling, that was one of the more ugly 49er games in recent memory. It was not smooth from the beginning. They had a shot late, but they just could not get a stop on the defensive end down the stretch. Not to say the defense was poor, but 23-17 was the final. Ugly performance for the 49ers, and they certainly deserve to lose this one, Sterling.
The Niners lost on every single front. The offensive line was getting beat nonstop. Purdy was having interceptions and the ball falling out of his hand before he actually threw the ball. Like, what's going on? Fred Warner was really the only player that came to play. Kittle had a nice game before he got hurt. Debo has a nice box score, but it wasn't a great game from Debo's standpoint.
Yeah, there's some really garbage yards down the stretch there.
Exactly. And you know, this game was pitiful. It was, okay, you know, when are they going to get going? Eventually, they should be able to find something that works. And give credit to Brian Flores and the Vikings. Brian Flores continues to be one of the most underrated defensive minds in football. We know last year beat San Francisco in Minnesota. This team can still not find a way to win in Minnesota since 1992.
Crazy.
And this is supposed to be one of the greatest rosters in the NFL. Currently, I get no CMC, Kittle's on and off the field, this, that, and the other. Even without CMC, you should beat a team like the Vikings that had to sign like seven cornerbacks before week one. Losing a game like this when you're a game ahead of the Rams and you're tied with Seattle, when you have a terrible, tough road and grueling end of your year, you have to win games like this. San Francisco literally and figuratively fumbled this one away.
Yeah, they did, and we'll get into, you know, what this means down the stretch and the McCaffrey injury, and we have so much time to do that with you guys all afternoon long here on Overtime, and you can give us a call. This show's for you guys. This show's for the Niner fans, so give us a call. You're frustrated. You're not alone. I guarantee you that. Give us a call, 888-957-9570, but you're right, Sterling. Part of the reason why I think a lot of Niner fans, and I was in this camp, felt maybe as good as you possibly could with the reigning offensive player of the year missing at least the first 5 weeks of the season was because this was by far the easiest part of your schedule by a mile. And you feel like, okay, there's a legitimate chance you could be 5-0 without McCaffrey. Like, you legitimately could do that. Now, you've got the Rams on the road. That's going to be a challenge with or without McCaffrey. We know that, but there was a chance that could have happened. But as you look further down the road, you've got tough opponents week after week after week. That's a conversation for a little bit later on today, Sterling, and we will certainly get into that. But again, 888-957-9570, the 209 already chiming in on the Xfinity mobile text line. We're keeping an eye on our YouTube chat, as always, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. But Sterling, this game began ugly for the 49ers. They did not score until just out of the two-minute warning in the first half. It was a George Kittle touchdown catch and run on a little screen just inside of the two-minute warning at the end of the first half. Got the Niners within three. The Vikings did go down to close the first half with the field goal, and they scored first to begin the second half, although both teams traded failed drives to begin the second half. But this was also a moment, Sterling, where you talked about the interception by Purdy, which was not a good one. The fumble, it was originally ruled an interception, but changed to a fumble. Because, as you said, the ball slipped out of his hands and then was just scooped out of the air by a Viking defender. Those turnovers were big. There was a blocked punt. There was a muffed punt. The muffed punt the Niners ultimately fell on, so it didn't hurt them terribly. But the next play, I believe, was the interception that then led to a touchdown on the next play by the Vikings. So that didn't really help you much at all. But this game could have been entirely different, Sterling, if the 49ers in the first half, down by 7 points, if they go down the field, they get on the doorstep of the end zone. They already converted on one fourth down. They go for it on fourth and goal from the two, and they call a slow developing play out to the left out of the shotgun. It gets knocked down at the line of scrimmage, incomplete. A couple of plays later, Justin Jefferson, a 97-yard touchdown catch and run. You have George Odom matched up one-on-one on the best receiver in the NFL. I don't know about that, but Sterling, we're going to spend so much time talking about all of the mistakes, and there were so many of them. If there's one different play, that fourth and goal from the 2-yard line, you get into the end zone instead of turning it over on downs, you could be looking at this being a win, despite how terrible this team played. There's so many plays, one moment here and there like that, that changed the game, and that one in the first half, the fourth and goal from the 2 that got deflected at the line, was really that first inflection point of this game, followed up by that deep pass to JJ, to Jettas. That turned the game on its head, and the Niners never really recovered from that.
They just came out flat. It felt like they were okay. First road game of the season. You're not at home. Last week, the vibes were high. No CMC. Who cares? Mason's having a great game. Career high. Debo's out there crushing it. You're feeling good. You're celebrating. Me and you and Kyle are on after the show going, this seems still going to be amazing. They reminded everybody who they were last week. And today, it's like, I don't know what this offense is without Christian McCaffrey. And take that even further. Last week, they won a game. There's going to be some more inconsistencies without CMC, sure. He's one of the most important players on the offense in the entire NFL. My biggest issue with the offense today was the offensive line was atrocious. The Vikings, who disguise blitzes left and right, they'll bring eight, they'll drop eight, they'll show you so many different looks. Brock Purdy looked like he had never seen a defense like this before, and he already lost to him last year. This is the first time Brock Purdy has lost to the same team in consecutive games. Which sounds insane to say, but it looked like Flores was in Purdy's mind all day. And where is Brandon Ayuk? You want to hold out the whole offseason. You want to hold out. You want $30 million, and you get $30 million. Great, Brandon. Good for you. I'm so happy. But when you openly tell the entire world, I made it harder than it needed to be, and the first two games, you are invisible outside of one goal line catch that you almost dropped. If you want to not have Christian McCaffrey for 6+ weeks now, which seems to be the case because how bad the injury is, you need players like Kittle, who was fine today, Debo, who was fine today. Those guys did their part. We need Brandon Ayuk out there. We talked about drafting Ricky Pearsall. I get his circumstances are obviously going to keep him off the field. But We know Purdy and Ayuk are intertwined with their chemistry. When that's gone, when you don't have the one guy on the entire offense that can actually separate against a bad secondary, and he wants to be $30 million, two catches, three catches here, that's not going to cut it, and you're going to lose games like this. Stars have to step up against a bad Vikings team.
Yeah, maybe this Viking team is a little bit better than we thought. They're not one of the best teams in the NFC.
The defense is, for sure.
We know that for sure. Yeah, you're right. And you're right. They did a great job defensively. Brian Flores, who's been in the news more so lately for how he treated Tua Tagovailoa when he was the Dolphins head coach and how he's coaching up this Vikings defensive unit, kind of goes a little bit under the radar. You're right. He's an awesome defensive mind, and he made the Niners offensive line look like the JV offensive line. It was not good for the 49ers offensive line in this game. The Minnesota Vikings racked up 5 sacks of Brock Purdy. Four different players had sacks. One had a couple of different sacks, but 5 sacks in total. And it makes me think, makes me want to ask you this question, Sterling, because I'm watching this game, and obviously you focus on the interception by Brock Purdy, and that was where he was targeting Kyle Juszczyk over the middle, and it was in the deep in their own territory, so it was a bad turnover. And he threw it a little bit late. Linebacker came over and deflected it as he read Purdy's eyes, deflected it into the air, bobbled around for a second before the Vikings ultimately pick it off. And then he kind of had the weird one where he was, you know, rearing back to pass and the ball slipped out of his hands and ultimately gets plucked out of the air. 2 bad turnovers. We're going to remember those. Throws for 319, 1 touchdown, 28 for 36 with those 2 turnovers. Sterling, I didn't think Brock Purdy was that bad today. It obviously wasn't pretty, and it wasn't one of his best games. But you consider the pressure that he was under nearly 24-7. You consider the fact that, as you're talking about, Brandon Ayuk not separating from anybody down the field right now. We know Debo Samuel generally isn't a separator in terms of routes. George Kittle doing George Kittle things. He's more so going to be schemed open, and he can make tough catches, and he does that. But considering, I think, what Brock Purdy had access to today, Sterling, the offensive line playing poorly and his receivers not giving him big windows to throw the ball to, I don't think Purdy was that bad. We're gonna circle the 2 turnovers, and those 2 turnovers were bad, no doubt about it. I didn't think Brock Purdy was the reason the Niners lost this game. Now, he also didn't put them on his back and lead them to a victory. I didn't think Purdy was so terrible. In fact, I thought it was relatively similar to what he did last game, and it's an entirely different game the way it all played out. I didn't think Brock Purdy was so bad, but you're right. It still wasn't by any stretch a great performance by Brock either.
We have not seen the best of Brock Purdy so far in 2024. He was good against the Jets. He wasn't great, but again, when you're told you're not going to have your best offensive player for the next 5, 6, 7 plus weeks, maybe not till after the bye week, your quarterback has to play better. And of course, you know, was he terrible in this game? You know, was he dog dookie, if you want to call it that? No, he wasn't. But he wasn't good by any means. 2 turnovers, 1 may have been a fluke. Okay, fine. But there were times early in this game he was staring down Debo Samuel. There were he was forcing throws to Kyle Juszczyk. You're like, I don't know how you got away with that, but don't do it again. He tries it again and then does get picked off. Like, I'm okay with Purdy having full control of the offense. He's shown enough to have that, but through 2 games this year, I mean, the Jets game was fine, but this game in particular, I think was, despite what the box score might tell you, 319 yards, 28 for 36, and a touchdown pass, this was every time he drops back, I may have faith they'll pull this out, but I'm also holding my breath saying, okay, you know, what's going to happen this next throw? Which hasn't happened really much under Brock Purdy's tenure as starting quarterback, and I still love Brock. We all love Brock here. He's a great quarterback and going to get paid a lot of money, but you need more from scoring 17 points against the Vikings defense. That's not going to cut it. You cannot score 17 points against the Brian Flores defense, which is good, fine, cool, whatever, but then the Rams next week, this is not the look you want to have against a divisional opponent next week. You better hope you bounce back. You better hope, like, my mind goes in the next 4 or 5 weeks. You have Dallas in Seattle on Thursday night. Kansas City, like, those games are far away, sure. A lot can happen in between that. Fine, it's week two. But my mind goes to, in a conversation of best of the best, Brock Purdy has not shown so far in 2 weeks to be the best quarterback on the field. Sam Darnold outplayed him today. He was more efficient and more effective. That's not a good look.
Yeah, Darnold, 17 for 26, 268, two touchdowns, one interception. Of course, one of those touchdowns was the 97-yard bomb to Justin Jefferson. In a day full of frustrating moments and plays, Sterling, I don't know if that was the most frustrating one. It's certainly in like the top three because there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
But the 49ers, they just put together a gigantic drive. Gigantic drive. They got the ball at their own 10-yard line. They go 15 plays, 88 yards, all the way down to the two. They decide to go for it on fourth and goal from the two, which, by the way, I like that from Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. His team was down 7-0 at the time. And this came after he went for it on fourth down just across midfield earlier in that drive. Went for it there as well and got it. I like going for it, but fourth and goal from the two. And you come out of the shotgun, interestingly enough, and you throw it to the left. Pressure comes right in Brock Purdy's face, untouched, because Trent Williams, not Trent's fault, his job was to go out, kick out to the left, and it allowed the down lineman on the left side to come through untouched, force the throw early. It gets deflected, incomplete for Juwan Jennings, turnover on downs, and you think, okay, that's frustrating, but the defense now has the Vikings backed up. You can maybe get a safety. At worst, you force a punt, and you gotta keep your field position, and all right, you go down and score a touchdown afterwards, and it's all good. No, what happens? You match up George Odom on the best receiver in the NFL when Mooney Ward was standing right next to him, Sterling. George Odom and Mooney Ward were standing side by side. The Niners were like, huh, that's Justin Jefferson? George Odom, who didn't even play like any defensive snaps last year, did some, not a lot. We're going to have him guard the best wide receiver in the NFL. And then, oh, by the way, we have our second-year safety, Jair Brown, as the only help for George Odom. And Jair Brown takes a terrible route, maybe underestimates Jetta's speed. He'll never do that again, I would hope. And both of them get run past for a 97-yard touchdown. It's a 14-point swing, and at that point, Sterling, is the first moment I got a pit in my stomach thinking, oh, man, the Niners are going to lose this game. There were other moments. Other more frustrating moments, but a 97-yard touchdown to the guy that you have circled, the guy that you spent all week preparing for. And by the way, an awesome throw by Sam Darnold in his own end zone.
Throw.
And Kevin O'Connell having the courage to make that play call. Sam Darnold, the guy who was seeing ghosts a few years ago, throwing from his own end zone, airing it out to Justin Jefferson 97 yards later. The Vikings add on to their lead, go up by even more. That moment, just one of the more frustrating moments, Sterling, in a game that was full of so many of those kind of moments.
What's frustrating, too, is you can justify almost every decision that was made by Kyle Shanahan. He went forward on, what, fourth down three times in this game? Now, I would never in my life, like, I am firmly against calling a shotgun pass on fourth and one. Put them puppies in I formation. Let Juszczyk lead the way, and you get Mason some free yards. Jordan Mason ran for 5 yards a pop. It can't get you 1 yard in the red zone. Quarterback, sneak it if you have to. Like, do something else. Now, you could argue that had that pass not been tipped, it was a pretty nicely placed ball. The trajectory was probably going to be a touchdown, but that's all what ifs and who knows. But, you know, sometimes you do the right thing and the outcome just is completely wrong. Now, I will say this, that San Francisco's secondary today, Mooney Ward was not containing the edge, got beat a handful of times. Isaac Yadam was getting chewed up out there in that last drive of the game where you had two third downs, a third and eight and a third and seven to hopefully get your offense the ball back to win this game. And they couldn't do, to quote Jim Mora, diddly poo on defense. It was like, come on, boys. Like, you got to do something out there. The offense isn't great. Fred Warner was picking them up every step of the way. And it was like, okay, you got a shot. It might be ugly. It might not be what you want to talk about come Monday or after the game, but you know, a win's a win, whatever. Get out and stay alive. This is a game where you get out and what do you take away from this game that's positive? Oh, Fred Warner. That's it. That's it.
Well, we already knew that. We already knew about Fred Warner.
Right, right. It's like nothing new. Do you bench George Odom? Do you rush back Hufanga? Like, a lot of the issues today, like, my question was in that last drive, let's see what Nick Sorensen is made of. And he got outcoached. Now, he had those guys in third down twice, and Yadam got beat. There was a bunch of wide receivers, and I just couldn't figure out the coverage. When you have young safeties, someone's got a point. Like, look, you got to be here, you got to be here. I was screaming, communicate! Communicate! Someone say something. Don't be like Marco Luciano and Tyler Fitzgerald in the infield.
Oh,
I want you communicating. Come on,
baseball
boys.
Season's over, Sterling. You don't got to bring that up.
It's been over for 3 months. Who cares? But today it was like, it felt like San Francisco had a fog over their brain. Sometimes you wake up, you don't feel great, your brain's foggy. The entire game felt like that for San Francisco, and you just can't do that when you play once a week.
Yeah, how about this on the Xfinity Mobile text line from the 707, and join the conversation, shoot us a text, or give us a call, 888-957-9570. It's Overtime. Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with you. Kyle Madsen will be back next week. Vikings beat the Niners 23-17, but Sterling on the Xfinity Mobile text line, again from the 707, where we're talking about the offensive line a little bit ago. The 707 says you can't blame the offensive line when you have Trent Williams and Mason doing his thing. No, it doesn't hold water. You're right in terms of the run game. The run game worked. I mean, Mason had 20 carries, 100 yards, second consecutive game to begin the year with 100 or more yards for Jordan Mason. 5 yards a pop, had a 22-yard scamper, had a touchdown that got the Niners back in the game in the second half, believing, hey, maybe they could sneak out of here with the win. Ultimately, they did not. The run game, though, Sterling, for the most part, was good, but there's two phases to offensive line play. There's run blocking and there's pass blocking. Run blocking was fine. I don't think it was as good as it was against the Jets last week, but the pass blocking was a major, major issue. You allow 5 sacks in this game, and it felt like those sacks for the Vikings all came at huge moments. You could give the Niners run blocking grade a passing grade, but their pass blocking grade, certainly not passing. It was ugly all game long.
And this is one of the bigger things for me is what you can't do is you can't praise Trent Williams last week, who played week one, missed almost no snaps, and was phenomenal against the Jets, and then say, oh, well, you had Trent out there and he was fine. Trent was not great today. Was he good? Sure. But he wasn't great. McKivitz got beat a handful of times. Aaron Banks got beat. Jake Brendel, on a play that didn't even matter, was shoved to the ground again back-to-back weeks. It's like, dude, Jake, you're 32, 33 years old, man. You got to hold firm, my friend. And, you know, it's like you can't praise San Francisco and go ho-hum last week and kind of forget about or just not mention the bad things that happened. We nitpicked last week. Well, this week, all the nitpicks have become like, these are issues that you got to clean up. And it was a great win last week, but this week it's ugly. This is a game where you walk back to the plane with your head down saying like, what was that? I don't know what to do. Where do we go from here? We got the Rams in 7 days. Hope that pans out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it gets tougher now. You got the Rams, although the Rams are dealing with so many injuries themselves. You don't really know exactly what team you're going to get, and they still have to play here in week number 2, so we'll see if they do pick up any other injuries. They're playing right now, in fact, in the first quarter in Arizona, and they're down 7-0. Marvin Harrison Jr. has his first touchdown in the NFL from Kyler Murray. Keep an eye on that game as we go. There is one other game on right now before the 1:25 afternoon window kicks off. Sterling, the Las Vegas Raiders are about to upset the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. You had me in MLB mode there for a second, but there's 1 second left on the clock. Baltimore's going to have to go Hail Mary here and see if they could pull off a miracle. But the Raiders, barring that miracle, are going to go into Baltimore and upset the Ravens. So at least if that score holds, you're not the most embarrassing Super Bowl contender performance of the week, because losing at home to the Raiders is certainly worse than losing on the road to the Minnesota Vikings, and the Ravens are pulling off some trickery. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But It does not. Dallas also was very, very bad. You're right. That was an ugly performance for Dallas.
44-19.
New Orleans has the best offense in the NFL, apparently, through 2 weeks, which is something that I was not expecting. Derek Carr, MVP, is the leader after 2 weeks. But all of that, Sterling, does not excuse what we saw from the 49ers here. It was a very slow start. And we've seen them have slow starts, Sterling, and sometimes they turn it on late second quarter. They dominate the third. They control the game, and ultimately they win by a score. Or 10 points, and they dominate the final like 2.5 quarters of the game. It did not happen, though. The offense never got into a rhythm. I think a big part is exactly what you're talking about with the offensive line. I also thought the defense, while it wasn't great, and that 97-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson is inexcusable. That can never happen. The defense also largely was put in bad spots often. The blocked punt, and by the way, Mitch Wishnowsky, what are you doing? Just touch him down, bro, and you're save yourself 20 yards. They stood tall there and forced a field goal. That was the first score of the game. That's a plus for the defense. They didn't deserve to give up any points there. They gave up three. Then the Brock Purdy interception turned into 7 points immediately the other way. And by the way, 14 of the Niners' 17 points, Sterling, came off of turnovers forced by Fred Warner in the defense. So, like, the defense was the Niners' offense as well, kind of, in this game. Like, I thought the defense, for the most part, they had a couple of terrible mistakes, but it was the offense putting them in rough situations, putting them in bad spots that really hurt them. I thought the defense played well enough despite a major, major, major breakdown and some really tough third and long conversions in the fourth quarter by Darnold and the Vikings. Overall, though, I thought the defense played well enough to get a win. It was the offense just not holding up their end of the bargain.
I would agree. The defense today, although I don't think they played stellar, they played good enough to win, like you said. They got two turnovers. The turnover battle was even. It almost wasn't, thanks to Jacob Cowling and Isaac Gatum, but it was not great. Special teams is still somehow, despite how much money they pour into punters and gunners and punt returners and they draft players, is still an issue. Demetrius Flanagan falls, watching the guy run right by him for a punt block. Cowling fumbling the football. It's like, you can't do this. That's why San Francisco is keeping 7 wide receivers on the active roster, because Ronnie Bell can go out there and field punts. And right when the fumble happened to Cowling, I said, hey, he's not playing next week. Like, Shanahan saying, get in the doghouse. You're not going to see any snaps. But you're right, Mark. The defense played well enough to win, whereas the offense just continued to stumble over and over itself. Every pivotal third down, even their scoring drives, felt like you had to pull teeth just to convert on fourth down. It was like, This is San Francisco's offense that has an all-pro Brandon Ayuk and an all-pro Debo Samuel and an all-pro tight end and, CMC, but this offense should still be able to move the football continually, even against good defenses. And today, it couldn't move the ball at all.
Yeah. It was ugly. 17 points for the Niner offense. They fall by 6. 23-17, the final score. The Vikings are 2-0. The Niners fall to 1-1. And Minneapolis continues to be like a house of horrors for the 49ers. They have not won on the road against the Vikings since 1992, if you can believe it. That was before Sterling and I were on this earth. The Niners have not won in our lifetimes in the state of Minnesota since Sterling and I have been born. And that did not change today. Gotta take a quick break, but first, shout out to Diego Sanchez on our YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, a super chat, $5. Diego says, those unlucky tips, not converting a fourth and goal on the one, but allowing Sam Icy Ghost Darnold a 90-yard touchdown made me sick. On to Levi South, beat L.A., says Diego. We certainly hope that's the case coming up next week, Diego, for the Niners down in L.A. against the Rams. All right, time for a break here on Overtime. When we come back, so much more to get into, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 888-957-9570 plus. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan. He has addressed the media. We'll get that to you before we get on out of here today as well. Niners fall to the Vikings. 23-17 is the final. More Overtime with Grandy and Sterling next on 95.7 The Game.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second down nine. Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown. Shifting gears. Getting a block. That's six. 97 yards.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
That was the great Kevin Harlan calling the 97-yard touchdown catch. Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson. That was a 14-point swing. Sterling, the 49ers were about to go down and take a lead, actually. I think I said earlier it was 7-0 Vikings at that point. It was only 3-0 Vikings at that point. Niners put together a 15-play drive. They get all the way down to the 2-yard line. Shanahan decides, you know what? Today I'm going to be aggressive. I loved it. Went for it. Not the greatest play call. It gets knocked down, incomplete, and then a couple of plays later, 97-yard house call for Justin Jefferson. So, Sterling, instead of you being up 7-3, up by 4 points, you're down 10-0, down 10 points. Now the Niners did ultimately get kind of a 14-point swing back later on. Aaron Jones was about to step into the end zone to make it a 20-point lead for the Vikings, and then Fred Warner, making a habit of pulling off the peanut punch to perfection, knocked it away. Isaac Yiadom recovered the fumble. Second time he recovered a loose ball, by the way, in this game, which is never a good thing. If you're recovering multiple balls, I guess generally if it's on defense, it's good, but the other one came on special teams. That was muffed by the rookie Jacob Cowing. That was not great. But the Niners turned that Fred Warner forced turnover on the doorstep of the end zone into 7 points themselves. So you kind of gained a 14-point swing back yourself, but it's hard to overcome all the mistakes the 49ers made. The turnovers, the blocked punt, the muffed punt, the bad field position, the big plays, all the third and long conversions for the Vikings. Sterling, after the 49ers scored the touchdown, the Jordan Mason run to make it a 6-point game early in the fourth quarter, the Vikings' ensuing drive, when their only goal was to take a lot of time off the clock and get any kind of score to make it a 2-possession game, they had conversions of like 3rd and 9 and 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 5 over and over and over again. Ultimately, I don't think the defense was bad, but on those money downs, on those big moments, they just simply could not get off the field, and they did not give the offense the chance they needed to win the game down the stretch.
We've been talking a lot about not having Christian McCaffrey for the offense. Why couldn't San Francisco's offense do what the Vikings did without Justin Jefferson? In fact, they didn't have Jefferson, Jordan Addison, or TJ Hockenson, and they marched the ball down the field at will against the Niners defense that on paper is supposed to be a top 10, top 5 unit, depending on how you look at it. They didn't have three of their top offensive players, and they marched down the field, and arguably, compared to last year, with the worst quarterback. It felt like they had no issues at all moving down the field when they had to, which makes the offensive issues so much more staggering. Mickey D on the YouTube chat brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union says, D needed to stop, and instead, Minnesota drove the field without Jefferson. Yes! Yep. They didn't have their star.
And Aaron Jones wasn't even on the field either. It was Ty Chandler in the game at running back. And okay, so I talked about the third down conversions. 3rd and 7, They converted that one with Brandon Powell. Do you know Brandon Powell? I don't really know Brandon. I know a Bilal Powell. Brandon Powell, didn't really know about him. A 3rd-and-8 conversion. That one was to Naylor. Ken, our guy here behind the glass, said, Naylor, is that a rookie? No, he's a third-year guy I'd never heard of. I thought he was a rookie, too. Conversion
I'm going to know Josh Naylor in Cleveland.
And more baseball references. That's what we need here, dealing with this Niner loss. And then 3rd-and-2.
Let's avoid the loss.
3rd-and-2, another conversion to Brandon Powell again. Like, they did it with not nobodies. I'm not disrespecting these guys, but they did it
but
with, you're
scraps.
Right, not their
it's
stars.
Scraps.
You got, and these were wide open plays. Like, Brandon Powell on the right sideline, that 3rd-and-7, there was no one within a mile of him. He was so wide open. Darnold was good, and he made the Niners pay, but it was also some pretty laxed coverage by the secondary on that final drive, and I get it. You're gassed, you're winded a little bit. Niners actually won the time of possession, nearly 35 minutes to 25 minutes for the Vikings. This was not like last week. Like the Niners worn out there a ton on the defensive side, but they just didn't have a lot in the tank. And I guess you could also maybe point to, you know, a short week and you're traveling to a different time zone and it's an early kickoff. Your body clock feels like 10 o'clock in the morning. To those guys, it feels like noon out there in Minnesota. That's all part of it. You're right. And that's all fair, but you're right, Sterling, saying this is a top five defensive unit. It should be a top five defensive unit. And you saw flashes. Nick Bosa, a couple of sacks, his first two sacks of the season. Fred Warner had a sack and two forced turnovers, one interception, one forced fumble. He was awesome. But in those big moments, they came up a little bit short. And that was one of the reasons why the Niners lost today.
There were times in this game when I was praying Fred Warner was going to be the one around the football. Because
yeah,
I knew if it wasn't him, nothing else was going to happen. Like, Mooney Ward was bad. Lenore was not great. Yadam was getting eaten alive in the last drive of the game. The safeties weren't good. And the safeties were so bad, they benched George Odom for like 3 or 4 drives in that second half. Malik Mustafa got a handful of snaps in that 3rd and 4th quarter. So there may be some positional changing happening on the depth chart. Maybe come week 3 against the Rams, who are getting beat 14-0 currently against the Cardinals. So there is some good news for some Niner fans. But yeah, like, it's almost like, not to use baseball again, but you're praying in a big moment that your fourth hole hitter is going to come up and make the play, make the big hit. I was just praying and hoping, where's Fred Warner? Where is Fred Warner? He has to be the one. And he did twice. In fact, I'm pretty sure he had 3 forced fumbles in this game. I'm not sure if the one about Sam Darnold towards the sideline was actually a fumble, but if it wasn't, it was as close as you can get. But the Vikings offense essentially won this game with players like Chris Conley and Ronnie Bell on their offense. That should never happen. And for Kyle Shanahan, I don't know about you, Mark, and maybe you differ on me with this, but I'm tired of seeing Deebo Samuel on these fake screens, end-arounds, when your guys can't separate downfield. And I feel like for 10 to 20 plays in this game, he's in the backfield or on the sideline being like the last option if no one's there. They're just going to put a linebacker out there and sit and say, hey, we dare you to throw it to him. You're almost taking away your best playmaker out of the play when you already don't have Christian McCaffrey. How does that work? You need him downfield, making plays, slants. They can be short routes, but not have him 7 yards behind the quarterback saying, hey, I'm open. Of course you're open. They want you to throw it to him. It's a loss of yards every time.
Yeah. Yeah, to clean up a couple of things, you're right about Fred Warner. He had 2 forced fumbles. One of them turned into a turnover forced by the Niner defense. He also deflected a couple of passes, had an interception, had a quarterback hit, had a sack, had 9 total tackles to lead the team. He was absolutely incredible. Nick Bosa, 5 tackles. 2 of them were sacks. He was very good as well. Givens got in there for a sack. Other than that, not a lot of standouts from the Niners defense. And then what you're talking about with Deebo Samuel, you look at the stat line, and this is kind of what we're talking about. Stat lines can fool you, and it's not that Deebo Samuel was bad. I think this is more about the game plan and how the Niners are attacking than what the numbers are for an individual player. Debo finishes with 10 targets, 8 catches for 110 yards. He had 2 carries, lost 10 total yards on those 2 carries. One of them was the awkward play down at the very end where they were trying to get it out to Debo quick on the right side. The ball was deflected at the line into the air, and Debo, I get it, in the moment it's hard to think. Instead of just knocking it down, he caught it and lost like 9 yards. It took a lot of time off the clock, hurt the Niners' chances. Ultimately, they don't get the onside kick anyway, so it didn't really matter. But I think what you're getting at, Sterling, and where I agree with you is, isn't Debo, you know, 8 catches, 110, that's fine. Now, some of those were those garbage time drives down the stretch where he had like a 20-yard reception and a 15-yard reception on that final drive when the Vikings were content giving those chunks underneath over the middle. I thought Debo Samuel should be getting, I don't know, 8 carries out of the backfield in this game. Just give him the ball, maximize the number of times that he can make something happen. You know, we saw it a little bit against the Jets. Not a ton of success for him in terms of chunk plays on the ground. I'm also a little bit worried, now that you know McCaffrey's out for a month or more, about Jordan Mason's workload. Take a little bit off of him, give a little bit more to Debo, maybe use Debo less in the receiving game, but I get why maybe you might not want to do that, because Ayuk clearly isn't up to full speed just yet. You got to rely on someone like Chris Conley, who had a catch in this game. I get why maybe there's a little bit of a give and take for Shanahan in terms of how to attack, but I think overall, Sterling, I'm with you. I expected more manufactured touches from Debo in the backfield, on screens, on end arounds, on simple handoffs, and we didn't get that. He was used a little bit more like a prototypical wide receiver, which is fine, but the way that this game was going, I think maybe it called for a little bit more of just giving the ball to your most dynamic offensive weapon, and it didn't really happen a lot in those manufactured ways in this game.
So do we put the blame on the offense on Kyle, or is it just players not executing? Because it felt like there were some plays in this game that were wasted. There was that play again, you know, it's down at the goal line, the game's almost over, the Debo Samuel play where the ball gets tipped, almost picked off, and he catches it when he should have batted it down. But like, that's a play where the opposing defense knows you want to give the ball to Debo Samuel, which is fine. Usually Debo's great at even, you know, dicing through those defenses, but the screen passes to Debo have not worked. You've seen opposing defenses just say, rush everybody towards him, because that's where the ball's going. Honestly, what I want to see at this point is Kyle fake the Debo screen, take a shot downfield. There was, walking into this game, I thought to myself, the Vikings truly do not have a number one cornerback. I had Stephon Gilmore, but other than that, he's old. He's like 33 years old. He's fine. Take a few shots downfield. Give me a deep shot to Ayuk. Just try something to get them on their heels early, which opens up other stuff. It didn't happen, but when you do that, it opens up the Debo underneath. Nothing in this game opened up Debo Samuel underneath. Everything from Purdy was 16 yards, 25 yards, which is great stuff. You want to see that, but that's not exactly what Kyle wants to do all the time. He wants to give Debo the ball 6 yards deep and let him get 7 by himself.
Yeah.
There was no opportunity to eat the clock in this game like they did against the Jets a week ago. Like, to me, the game plan, it was kind of like, okay, a pass-heavy game plan makes sense to me. The secondary is not great in Minnesota, but it's like, after that, they couldn't do anything. There was nothing that actually worked in this game minus a George Kittle with 4-yard touchdown catch.
Yeah, I think there was the Niners pride themselves so much on being more physical than everybody else, and we're just going to run the ball down your throat, and if we have success running the ball, we are perfectly content doing that over and over and over again. Week one against the Jets was a great example of it, and so many people, I think, kind of hated on Brock Purdy's performance just simply because he wasn't asked to do that much week one against the Jets. When he was asked to do things, I thought he was largely very good. He just wasn't asked to do all that much. You go back to NFC Championship game, Jimmy Garoppolo 2019, when Raheem Mostert ran for like 250 yards. That is the best example of this. If it's working on the ground, the Niners are perfectly content doing nothing else. But where the Niners offense, Sterling, has evolved, and this is most recently with Brock Purdy and with Christian McCaffrey, those two deserve, I think, a lot of the credit for why this is now possible, is the Niners are the best chunk players play offense in the NFL, consistently getting 25, 30, 35, 40 yards on single plays. And some of it is, not necessarily trick plays, but end-arounds and screens and quick throws, and then the Yak Bros take over and turn it into big gains. But how many times is Ayuk running free down the left sideline? How many times is Kittle open over the middle and he runs for 20 more yards and turns it into a gain of 50? Same thing for Deebo Samuel, even Juwan Jennings here and there. There was even a play last year where it happened with Ray-Ray McCloud. Like, that is what happens with this offense, and that was not at all the case today. Now, if you're asking, is it understandable? You're without McCaffrey, the reigning offensive player of the year. Brandon Ayuk, a all-pro wide receiver last year, clearly not up to speed yet, and we can be frustrated at him that that is his current reality. But as we try to handicap the ability of the offense right now, Sterling, it is also relatively clear that this is not the same group as it was last year because of injury, because of other circumstances, but it just goes to show how much more difficult it is to get those kind of things done, put up those kind of numbers when you don't have those plays down the field. And so much of what was today's offense was underneath, over the middle and short, in front of the defense, and there was nothing open deep down the field. And there were very few attempts to push the ball deep down the field.
When it feels like Brandon Ayuk hasn't played football in 7 months, a couple catches today, but where's separation? Yeah, that stuff takes time, but Peyton Manning last week made the point on the Manning cast to say, get your butt in the room on the field, and you never want to point to one player and say it's your fault. That's not how football is played, but you know what helped right now? Having Brandon Ayuk through the entire offseason program getting open against the bad secondary. This is a game where, take last year as an example, Ayuk was dicing up almost every defense he faced. Against the Vikings last year, even without Deebo Samuel, he was still the guy on the majority of plays because Brock knows he's always going to be open. And you don't have that, it hinders your offense. Now, should it hinder it to 17 points? No, it shouldn't. But you cannot score 17 points and expect to win football games. My mind goes to next week against the Rams, which it's 7 days away. Who knows what could happen? There's still games being played today, including the Rams against the Cardinals. But is Matthew Stafford not going to have his way with this defense? Which, Puka Nacua, offensive line's banked up, but okay. This game didn't prove to me you can beat everybody. You can beat anybody. It proved to me that, hey, this team may have some actual issues that were kind of masked in week number one.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, you're talking about what's coming up next week. It is the Rams. It is now 21-0 Arizona over the Los Angeles Rams. I mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. earlier, his first NFL touchdown. He also has another one, a 60-yard touchdown catch from Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray has thrown for 3 touchdowns in the first, 18 minutes of the game. It's 21-0 Arizona as we speak right now. We'll keep an eye on that score for you as we keep going here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. But let's go out to the phone lines here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Up first is Rob in San Bruno. What's up, Rob? You're on Overtime. It's Mark, Randy, Sterling, Bennett with you. Niners fall in Minnesota. Rob, how you feeling?
I don't like elves. But, I'm putting the blame on Purdy. I mean, the game was to be had. They had over 300 yards passing. They had Mason ran good. He had over 100 yards rushing. I thought the Niners had full control of the game, but you had Purdy throwing interceptions. That's what it came down to. He had a couple that should have been intercepted. Purdy looked good part of the game, but you can't, in a game to where it's that close, you can't have your guy throwing 2 interceptions. I thought Fred Warner pretty much saved his game from being a blowout. If it wasn't for Fred Warner, this would be a 20-point L. So, and then we lost to Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was not perfect out there. So I just feel like our defense ain't what it was last year. I think we missed Armstead. We for sure missed Big Dre, Great Dre Greenlaw. And Bosa, he had 2 sacks. But where was he at late making plays? He didn't make no plays late. He had a couple sacks, but he didn't stand out. I just watched the Raider game. I watched Max Crosby absolutely have one of the best games I've seen him play his whole career. And Bosa just, he's just there. So You can say Ayuk not being there, but I don't think that was a problem. I thought Deebo had a great game. Deebo made a couple catches across the middle. If he didn't jump, them interceptions. So I just thought they had opportunities to win the game. Purdy threw interceptions. I thought Kyle got too cute in the goal line. You had Mason running well, but you want to throw at the one. No, you got a big back. Run the ball. So I thought the offense looked well. They just made mistakes. You can't make mistakes in a close game, and that's what they did, and they lost the game. I thought Kyle got out-coached in that third quarter as well.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Rob. I think a couple things I disagree with you about. First of all, I thought Nick Bosa was great in this game. His first two sacks the year, five tackles. You were talking about Max Crosby. He also had two sacks, six tackles for the Raiders today. And I know we just compare box scores. Difficult to do that. It doesn't really show the full scope of their impact. I could say the same thing about Nick Bosa. He's also impacting plays where he does not make tackles on. I'm a little bit more in the defend Brock Purdy's performance camp. I think part of it also comes down to your expectations for him. Are you thinking that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? And if you are, maybe you view this in a little bit more of a negative light. If you're a little bit unsure, if you think he's along for the ride, and I'm not saying I am, that changes how you view this. But Sterling, the one thing that Rob is 100% right about, without Fred Warner, the Niners might lose this game by like 27 points. Like, he was that big of an impact today. Fred Warner was absolutely insane, and it's kind of a fun, more like depressing thought experiment to see what it would look like without Fred. It would, at the very least, there would be 7 more points for the Vikings and 7 fewer points for the 49ers, at the very least. Fred Warner was the only reason this game was even in the air at any point in the fourth quarter.
Going through the box score right now, if I told you Brock Purdy had 319 yards, one touchdown, one pick, and a rating of 101.3, the running game had 100 yards, and Deebo Samuel had 110 yards, Kittle had 76 yards and one touchdown, you know what you'd say?
And you forced two turnovers. Turnovers.
You probably won the game by 14-plus points. They lost by 6. Like, this is a game last year, and look, it's early. There is a possibility that, like 2021, it's a slow start for San Francisco. Let's not forget, they are 500. It's not the end of the world. You can win the next 4 or 5 games, and no one bats an eye about week number 2 if you can win the division. But this is a game that the box score would scream, oh, San Francisco won. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold, who was only 17 for 26, was the most efficient quarterback I've seen all year. And it's only been 2 weeks, but my goodness, it's Derek Carr and Sam Darnold as the number one and number two MVP finalists so far. That shouldn't happen. And I think, you know, what do you write when you go back to the drawing board? I don't know. You tackled pretty well. You got to cover better. Not allow big plays. It's almost like everything in this game was like, yeah, we know what we're doing wrong. We know what we should be doing better, but the Vikings today were just a better team overall.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan coming up on the other side. We do have time to sneak in one more call before we go to break. 888-957-9570. The Niners fall to the Vikings 23-17. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Up next is Charles, who's in Castro Valley. Charles, what's up? You're on Overtime with Grandy and Sterling. How you doing, Charles?
Fellas, I got to take a sigh and just be like, wow. But we also got to realize, too, we haven't won a game in Minnesota since 92. I mean, yep. It's bad juju in Minnesota. So I kind of feel like, I'm not going to say throw this game away, but I feel like you're right. It is week 2. The world is not ending, but there's definitely some things that they need to fine-tune and make sure they're correct. If they ever want to get back to where they were yet last year and win, like, well, they didn't do last year. But, I mean, the third down conversions, fellas, Bosa could have 2 sacks. Fred Warner could run around and, you know, get fumbles and things like that, but they got to get off the field. Back in the day, did we not see a 3rd and 9 or a 3rd and 10 and Nick Bosa sacked the quarterback, they were forced to punt, and life was good as far as how the defense ran. Defense got to get off the field. Offense, I mean, I know we're going to be without CMC for a while, but honestly, I feel like we have enough weapons to be able to do more, and they got to get creative on the not just the on the run, but just how they scheme their plays against their opponents. But it's 1-1, fellas. We'll get over it. They're probably going to right the ship next week against the Rams, and we won't even be talking about this game. But remember, Bad juju in Minnesota. Period.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt, Charles. Have not won in Minnesota against the Vikings since 1992. That is an absolutely insane stat. Now, they don't play there every single year, but still, to have not won in a single state since 1992, that is a wild, wild statistic. All right, we got to take a quick break here on Overtime. We're just getting started. We're with you all afternoon long, so give us a call. You can join the conversation as well on the Xfinity mobile text line, 888-957-9570. And I know Sterling and I keeping an eye on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. We will also hear from the head coach. Kyle Shanahan has addressed the media in Minnesota. His full postgame presser is coming up on the other side as well. As overtime continues, the Niners fall to the Vikings 23-17. They're 1-1 on the year. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.